Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Crusader land we go now, and for many, many years he was the voice of Crusader and everything Canterbury sport, really, but particularly the Crusaders for me. Brian Ashby joins us, affectionately known as Gash. It's foreign territory for you at the moment, looking at points tables, etc., and results for the Crusaders, Gash.
Oh, look, I tell you what, at the weekend I had my sort of hands over my face for a period of time and was peeping between the eyes. That was every time the Crusaders had a throw into the line-out. It is foreign territory. They've been a tough watch. Worse than I was expecting this year. It was always going to be a transitional year, but I was expecting better than what we've seen to this point.
If we go back to round one, Gash, and they lost to the Chiefs in Hamilton, it was only 4 points, 33-29, and...
Yeah.
I think we were expecting that was going to be a really hard one, but I don't think you could have foreseen what's happened in the month since.
No, and you know, they could have and should have won that game. They played a very good second half, but a couple of late penalties. And you could possibly say the same against the very good Hurricanes team. They came very close there and took the lead late before relinquishing it. But then, you know, shockers, in particular the loss to the Waratahs and so on, and things, you know, I mentioned the line out before. I think it was 9, was it, against the Blues at the weekend that they lost. And I mean, that's, you know, goodness me. It sort of nullifies your kicking game, kicking for territory and so on when you do that. And you might sort of win the duel, you might win the territory, but if you can't win the line out, well, you know, it all sort of comes to naught. So it's pretty frustrating. I think for me, possibly the biggest frustration, and it's been a great strength of the Crusaders over the years, is that when a senior player is sidelined or steps out, the young guy comes in and does the job. And, you know, they've come through the academy, they're prepared for this level of rugby. It doesn't feel that way this year. And I think some of the young guys that have come through, I think, have been very disappointing. And you know, one of the older guys new to the squad, Amur at centre, I think has been hugely disappointing. And I'd like to see sort of Dallas McLeod starting in that position. But I think that's been a big frustration. Look, you can talk about all the injuries and all of those things, and we get it, we understand that. And it's, you know, they're talking it down, they're not using it as an excuse. But it is, you know, it is hugely relevant. But guys have to step up, and quite simply this year they haven't.
Yeah, your point on progression of players from academies through ranks and that sort of thing, it's been quite seamless over the past with the Crusaders. But I would suggest, and I think there's it's not even a fine line, it's a big line between excuses and reasons. And the reason for me is you chuck that many first line players unavailable due to injury / suspension. You chuck that many top line players who have now left as well. And even Crusaders fans at the start of the season would say, I don't even know half the players in this team. It's been a monumental change.
Yeah, it has. And it's disheartening to read some of the stuff online. I hope the team and the management aren't reading it, some of the stuff that's being said online. They'll be hurting more than anybody. But some of it, you know, franchises aren't just add water and stir the way they're built. They're built up over many years through very robust systems and so on. And look, you know, the Crusaders under 20s, they won that tournament at the weekend. So that's the indication that the wider franchise and development is in pretty good shape longer term. Now, you know, if you wind the clock back to 2001, they'd won 3 titles in a row, and suddenly they had an absolute shocker of a season for a range of different reasons. Mainly, they were, I think, just overplayed essentially, they, you know, the top players were playing NPC and so on, and everything as well, as All Blacks and so on. It was a different world. But they came back the next year and they were unbeaten. Now, I'm not going to suggest that this group is going to sort of come back in 2025 and be unbeaten, but I do think things will turn around and I think things will get better. How will they get better? Well, they're probably not going to get a lot better this weekend with the Chiefs. That will be a struggle. And you know, the body language of the Crusaders at the moment isn't great. But they've got a bye after that. And then after the bye, you look at, you know, they've got the Waratahs. Well, yeah, they've already lost to the Tars. But you know, that would be a good one to turn around. And I think they can. The Tars aren't that great a side. The Force, the Rebels. You know, suddenly if they can string some wins together, a little bit of confidence will grow in the group. And I think they can. You know, I slowly, you know, one or two players will start to come back and things will turn around. And they're not going to win the competition this year, but, you know, if they could break into the top eight, which at the moment seems a wee way off, but, you know, two-thirds of the competition makes the playoffs, it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
I was pretty dismayed on social media, and I know that's not the pulse check of the nation or of the region in this instance, but the number of Crusaders fans who have, I guess in the fullness of time, will look back on that seven-year reign and realise how special it was and the expectation of winning, and people saying just get rid of Rob Penny, get rid of the whole coaching staff and start again. And my reaction to that is you chuck any head coach into the Crusaders now with the playing stocks and the injuries and the defections and all of that, I don't see it being much different. And gosh, Rob Penny, he's got a bit of a thankless task.
Yeah, it's a hard act to follow. But, you know, people sort of saying, oh, what's he done? He got sacked by the Waratahs. Well, yeah, he did. But look at what an absolute shambles Australian rugby is and was at that time, and they were just spiralling. And one of the great strengths of Rob Penny is bringing through young players, developing young players. And if you wind the clock back, you know, he's had success in Japan, success in Ireland, and of course a record number of titles with Canterbury prior to that. And that was bringing player through, bringing young players through, bringing the talent through. And along that way, he also brought through a coach in the form of Scott Robertson, who developed under Rob Penny as well. So, you know, the systems aren't vastly different. You know, Razor's certainly cut from a different cloth. There's no doubt about that. He's different to any coach I've ever met, and he's been influenced by some wonderful coaches through his own sort of playing career. You look at what he grew up with in the Crusaders, but he is a whole lot different. I know when he was interviewed for the Crusaders job, the board, I think, you know, they said, well, you know, what are your expectations for year one? And he said, we're going to win it. Well, you know, look, if you looked at the sort of history of the preceding years of the Crusaders, you'd have to say, you know, most people would say, this is batshit crazy, you know, but he went out there first year, won it, and subsequently won it every year since. Now, that set the bar really high. So, as you alluded to, it's going to be tough for anyone to follow in on the back of that. And the players they've lost, I think I've been close enough to it over the years to see the influence. People will never quite understand the enormous influence of Sam Whitelock, who is a remarkable man, not just as a rugby player, but his leadership off the park and the professionalism of Richie Mo'unga previously. His direction and vision around the park, but also the quality of work that he did off the park in terms of preparation. So you take those and a number of other, you know, very fine players out of the mix. Yeah, it's going to be different this year. But I think, you know, my message to people, look, it's not an easy watch at the moment, but just calm the farm. You know, I think everything will be okay. It will be okay. It's tough going at the moment. You know, as I say, look at the under-20s at the weekend. This isn't a franchise that's in crisis. It's a franchise that's got some right here, right now problems that they had back in 2001, and they were able to turn that around. They'll turn it around this time around. And you know, again, I'll roll out another cliched line of mine. It's not just add water and stir. You don't sack the coach and bring another one in and think that's going to change things overnight, because it just doesn't work that way. And and Crusaders have been built on long-term strategies.
Yeah, and the thing people need to remember, every other New Zealand franchise has been through this. It's just that the Crusaders haven't for about 20 years. The Highlanders have been there, the Hurricanes, the Blues, the Chiefs, they've all had these pop seasons. And I heard an Australian scribe in the weekend saying, you know, people are saying the Crusaders are going through a rebuilding phase. He said, the Crusaders don't rebuild, they reload. And I loved that.
That's a very good description. A very, very good description. And I think that sums it up quite nicely. You know, I think there are some you know, clear problems. Obviously, the lineup we've talked about. Number 10 is Holhepper played well at the weekend. In fact, I think he might have been the Crusaders player of the day, Riley Holhepper. But at best, he. You know, he's probably, you know, he's not the sort of guy you'd look at and say, well, you know, he's further on, is further up the line. You know, we're looking at sort of number four in the pecking order at the moment. So there are, you know, problems at number 10. You know, Fergus Burke will come back sort of next month, but you know, he'll be a bit underdone. And I think that is a wee bit of a problem. There isn't a lot of vision, a driver, you know, at number 10, steering them around the park with any great degree of confidence. Accuracy is getting a little bit better, but certainly not a lot of confidence there, and so on. So, yeah, that's problematic. Raw materials are pretty good. I mentioned I'm a little bit disappointed with Omoa, but George Bell's a player I rate enormously highly, and I've been disappointed with him. He's somebody I just see huge things for, but I don't know, just trying a bit too hard. Not sure what's going on there, and a few of these other young blokes, but. You know, the onus is on the senior players to you know, who some of them are seven titles deep in their career, and it's on them to show that leadership.
It is, and they'll be learning a lot. The likes of David Havili and Sevu Reese and Mitch Drummond, they're in positions they've never ever been in, and this will be good for them in their future careers. Anyway, Brian Ashby, fantastic to talk to you today. Keep the faith. Post by, I can see some wins coming.
Well, fingers crossed, and yep, it's a hard watch, but it will get better.